Hi everyone, it's David Wheeler at Wickham Wanderers and you're listening to the Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Wickham Wanderers Show. Once again, so much has happened since we last spoke. James Berry, a winger, has come in from Chesterfield, and also midfielder Alex Lowry joins. He arrives at Adams Park from Rangers. It's been quite a week, hasn't it? Something we could say every week. There's quite a midfield theme to the show as well. A little later on, we'll catch up with former midfielder Stuart Castledine, who spent two spells at the club as well under Alan Smith and Laurie Sanchez, respectively. He was part of that squad, of course, which reached the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. Well, the entire team obviously got to the semi-finals, but his contribution was mostly in the quarterfinals, I think it's fair to say. Came on at Filbert Street. More on that a bit later on. And a new Wickham Wanderers women signing joins us as well. Jordan Hosley Atkins, who is also a midfielder, as mentioned, in the centre of midfield, no less, will be chatting to us after making her debut against Woodley at the weekend. So, yes, I think that's about it. There might be more, but that's sort of the crux of it. Now, though, we'll kick off with, as usual, our match briefing from Phil. And it was really nice after. Oh, and I failed to mention, also later on in the show, we'll hear from Sam Grace. That's quite an important bit to miss out, isn't it? Oh, yes, him. We'll be hearing from him as well as we build up to the visit of Northampton Town on Saturday. Two home games on the way, of course, on Tuesday night as well. We host Barnsley, who are sort of fellow promotion chasers. Northampton, of course, struggling a bit further down the lower echelons of League One. Apologies for getting Sam Grace. He spoke to the media a little earlier on. We'll hear from him too on what's been a little more of a settled week for him and his coaching team and the players, as you can imagine. But first, as promised, our match briefing from Phil. As mentioned, it's been quite a week. It almost made me forget who we'll be talking to a bit later on. But yes, lots going on, including that fantastic win at Mansfield on Saturday.
Yeah, I think under normal circumstances, that was a really tough game away at Mansfield. And then you put into context the week that the club had had and the upheaval. And to still go there and get 3 points, I think, was absolutely magnificent. And credit to Sam Grace and Vokesy and his support from the academy, from Harry and Matt, etc. Was second to none. And to see the reaction at the end was wonderful. You know, especially the scenes afterwards with the fans and the players all coming together. And I think it was a really big sort of statement, actually, to the rest of the league. You know, that, you know, there is some upheaval here, but this is a club in a really good position, an exciting prospect and a really good 3 points on Saturday. Not many teams going to go to Field Mill between that end of the season and come away with 3 points.
And great to hear in your post-match interview on Ringing the Blues as well from Gareth McCleary, who, you know, you get the sense, don't you, how you know, big a part the senior players are playing in the continuation of what's gone before.
Yeah, look, you know, that game was the classic League One fine margins, and it's about who can keep their cool, who's got the experience, etc. And Gareth McCleary, that's him in a nutshell, because Mansfield had a really clear-cut opportunity a few minutes before Wickham got the second and what turned out to be the winner. They didn't hit the target, whereas Gareth McCleary, probably a more difficult, in fact, definitely a more difficult opportunity, had to get past one or two challenges and then sort of beat the keeper on the stretch with his weaker foot, but did so. And therein lies the difference on Saturday. That was the moment that swung it. And, you know, to have someone of Gareth's age and experience at 37, coupled with the fact that he's looked after himself so well, you know, so he's got all the mileage in the brain of a 37-year-old, but his body is that of a much younger player. So it's a great combination to have, and you need characters like that in situations like this, and no doubt we will again between now and the end of the season. And sometimes you need those experienced heads around you to help marshal the younger players and steer us through those tricky situations.
And obviously we've spoken before about, you know, what he brings to games, especially coming off the bench when, you know, defenders are tired and the last thing you want is him running at you.
Yeah, look, he's got top-draw quality, international caps, played in the Premier League. So, yeah, if you're a left-back or a right-back and you see him coming on with 20, 30 minutes to go, then you're not going to be best pleased, especially even if he starts a game and it's the likes of sort of Gideon Kodjoa coming on or whoever. You know, we've got so many options now. Again, it harks back to the squad. It's not the starting 11 that win you games. It's the whole squad. And that's the attitude that they have here, which is excellent. And the subs are made, you know, with 20, 30 minutes to go sometimes. And it gives players the opportunity to come on and really make their mark on the match. And yeah, like I say, if you're a defender and you're almost having to play against two different sets of players at times up front for Wickham, and that's a challenge in itself.
And obviously, since we spoke to you last, we've had two more new arrivals. Previously, a couple of Danes from Norway and now Glasgow and Chesterfield.
Yes, yeah, we're going all over the place, aren't we? Which is exciting times for Wickham Wanderers, and north of the border, and Alex from Rangers certainly looks to be a very exciting signing as well. As does James Berry from Chesterfield, and a great story for him. Three consecutive titles won with Macclesfield and now Chesterfield, and continually sort of stepping up. And again, really lovely to get his story about how he kind of had to go back into lower non-league to sort of build himself back up again, having come out of the academy system. And I think that shows really great resilience and adaptability and a really strong attitude, which when you bring that into a place like Wickham Wanderers is really, really exciting. And then you look at what he's done for Chesterfield in recent times, then it gives us yet another option up top, which is brilliant to have at this stage. Really, really exciting. And obviously we'll get to know more about Alex and Anders and Magnus as well as the weeks roll on. So exciting times, and two home games back to back now as well. There's opportunities now with the teams at the top having to play each other now over the next 2 to 3 games as well. So fans are going to be sort of glued to their phones looking at the table as it stands as the games go on. And that's their job, which is brilliant, as I'm sure Sam and the players will tell you that they're not worried about the table. They'll just be doing what they can to win and get as many points as they can between now and the start of May. But we all know the players will take a sneaky look at the table in between games too. But, that's the fans' job as well during the game, is to get excited when they see what's going on, both at Adams Park or away games or where other games in League One are taking place.
And fans have been especially excited, I imagine, to see some of the new signings perhaps at Adams Park this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big squad now, a quality squad. The new players have really added to that. It's always exciting to see someone pull on the quarters for the first time and show what they can do out on the pitch. So I'm no doubt when that happens, it's going to be a big moment for everybody.
And I know, you said that the manager and players probably don't look at the table, but, we're playing a team, Northampton, who are struggling, down the wrong end, really.
Yeah, and we don't have to wind the clock too far back to understand what that feels like. I remember that first season back in League One when the goal was to stay up, and Wickham did that, I think, with a game or two to spare. That was the goal. And Northampton, I think, are very much in that boat. They're one place above the dotted line. There's a bit of a points buffer, but there's games in hand for teams beneath them as well. So it's not comfortable for them. They've changed manager over Christmas and they've got a lot of injuries. And, the pressure there is different. Wickham can talk about being under pressure, being at the top of the table, but that's the sort of pressure you invite. That's the sort of pressure you can sort of really embrace. Whereas that pressure down the bottom is not great. But seriously though, teams down there, they will react to that pressure, and we're going to see an uptick in results from teams. We've already seen it with Shrewsbury under Gareth and Dobbo. They're starting to really pull trees up there and get big results, and they've helped us by beating both Birmingham and Wrexham at their place. And losing to us as well, which is quite nice. That pressure is really going to play a big part in the running. But, Wickham, like I say, can embrace the pressure they're in at the moment because it's a nice pressure. Whereas Northampton fans will come into this game looking over their shoulder, looking at their injury list and maybe wondering where the points are going to come from.
It must be such an exciting time to be following the club, obviously with your commentary, but also being, based at the training ground as well, and just seeing what's kind of going on and what's kind of brewing, if you like, as well.
Yeah. It's, I say a week's a long time in politics. I think a week's a really long time in football. And if you think about the last calendar year, we are, quite literally in a different place. We're in Harlington and, the facilities here, a huge upgrade on what the players were used to on the pitch at Marlow Road. The academy is growing week on week and the plans for that are well and truly underway, which is super exciting. And as every week rolls on, we can see that vision being created. And then, what we've seen in this transfer window has been a huge statement of intent as well. And, we're still on the lookout for news of the next head coach to come in too. So it's a phenomenal club. It always has been. And, football will always invite change and everything else. And it's about embracing that and see where it takes us.
Well, enjoy the game on Saturday. And thank you so much, Steve, for your time.
No worries at all, Colin. Thank you.
Real pleasure to have Phil on the show. As always, he'll be bringing you live commentary from Adams Park. Wickham Wanderers against Northampton Town. Kickoff is at 3, and then for the visit of Barnsley on Tuesday night, which starts, of course, at 7.45. You can get more great content on Wanderers TV as well, where you can also hear in full Phil's chat with new signing James Berry, who arrived this week from Chesterfield.
Wickham are doing absolutely unbelievable this season. You know, it's a team, you know, that is going in the right direction, which is obviously I want to be a part of. You know, I'm really excited to be here, really excited to, you know, met the lads on Tuesday, met all the staff as well, and I'm also excited to meet the fans as well. So, yeah, I'm buzzing to be here.
And your own personal journey going in the right direction as well, I think, just looking, 3 consecutive promotions now?
Yeah, at the minute, yeah, 3. You know, started off at Macclesfield, you know, in tier 9 or 8, I think it was, North West County. So I had to start again and come back up. But, yeah, I'm here today. But, yeah, 3 consecutive ones, obviously. National League last year with Chesterfield into League 2. So, yeah, it's really exciting times for myself. And hopefully I'm here now. Hopefully, you know, I can go up again and get my 4th with Wickham.
It's fair to say then you're a winner. What did you learn in that National League sort of campaign? That's a tough division to get out of. So what did you take from that experience?
100%, you know, that sort of league was, I had to get bigger, you know what I mean? You know, I had to get bigger and stronger in there because it's a very tough physical league. Like going from, you know, playing with Macclesfield in North West Division, it was tough to get used to, you know, playing with better players, stronger players. So, you know, I had to get myself in the gym and get myself, you know, looking like a man instead of a boy. So, yeah, it was a very tough league. But thankfully, you know, we had a terrific year that year. You know, we won the league at a canter, really, when you look at it. So, yeah, it was a very good year. Very good year, yeah.
And for our fans who won't be aware of you as a player, what are you going to bring to Wickham Wanderers? What can they be excited about?
Yeah, just a winger, you know, play on either side. Very direct, very... yeah, I like to take chances with everything. You know, if I see something, if I see a shot, you know, some of my goals this year, have scored some good goals this year. You know, up for, on 10 this year, so scored quite a lot of good goals. So I'd say, yeah, very very direct, very flurry type thing. You know, want to get as many goals and assists as possible. Travel, take the ball. You know, play with my teammates and all that. So yeah, I'm really excited to show everyone here, you know, what James Berry can do.
More from James Berry on the club's website. He talks to Wanderers TV about his experience at Macclesfield and gaining promotion and improving his mental strength there as well. A return of the notice board section of the show. What, this early? I know. And good news, if you want to take part and help your community, Wickham Wanderers are pleased to support a community conservation day which is being hosted by Chiltern Rangers on the Sands Bank, which is adjacent to the ground, a week on Friday, the 31st of January, and you're encouraged to sign up to take part. It's free to get involved. It's backed by the club, foundation and club partners Origin, Whiffaway and Buckinghamshire New University. The event brings people together to take part in scrub and grassland cutting, raking and tree popping. I generally don't know what that is. As well as making, painting and installing bird boxes around Adams Park, whilst a bonfire will be lit to keep guests warm and enable marshmallow toasting, I say. Participants are invited to come for an hour or stay all day, with a safety briefing taking place at 10 o'clock in the morning in the upper tier car park at the stadium. Please bring your own gloves. There will be spares, though, and dress for the weather and the task in hand as well. Long trousers are advisable. First time I've said that on the show, as there may be ticks and thorny vegetation, while steel toe cap or sturdy boots are also recommended rather than trainers. Are advised to wear layers that you can remove if you get hot whilst working. Bring a waterproof, as most sites have no shelter from the rain. Please also bring plenty of fluids, the organisers say, and a packed lunch. We'll bring a tea kit and biscuits as well. Please note that Sands Bank is a steeply sloping site and may not be suitable for those with limited mobility. Biscuits are served at all Chiltern Rangers sessions. That's important to stress. But they do ask, you can let them know if you have any allergies. Sometimes there is a need for them to use power tools that can be noisy. Do bear that in mind as well. If you want to find out more, call our Wickham number. It's 01494 474486. That's 474486. Or you can email info@chilternrangers.co.uk with any questions and register your free place online. Check out the Wickham Wanderers website for arguably all that information.
Across High Wickham and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
The Chair boys are flying high in League One this season, so come on down to Adams Park, get behind the boys and play your part in what will be a memorable season for Wickham Wanderers.
71 minutes on the clock, up against Jed Stitt, dancing around on his line. The
take
right
your time,
foot
Rich.
Of
take
Richard
your time.
Kona. Here he comes.
Score!
It's been goals, goals, goals for the Chair boys so far this season. Come on down to Adams Park to play your part and get behind the boys. Head to tickets.wwfc.com and use the code SOUND on booking for a chance to win a gantry experience at a Wickham Wanderers home match. Come on, you Blues.
Still to come on this week's edition of the Wickham Wanderers show, we'll hear from caretaker boss Sam Grace. We'll also catch up with a new Wickham Wanderers women signing as well. But first, with thanks to the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association, we'll catch up with someone who spent two spells at the club, a midfielder, and someone who was part of the squad which did very well in the FA Cup. He, you might recall, came on against Leicester in that quarter-final, which was the headlines dominated by Roy Essendon. But someone in the midfield who you might remember is Stuart Karlstein, who was originally brought to the club on loan by Alan Smith. And it was really nice to catch up with him again and find out what he's been up to and get his earliest memories of his time at the club.
To be honest, I'm sure the fans will concur, that was probably a more successful period personally for me. I mean, I'd made my Premier League debut, I think, not that long before, and things were going quite well for me at Wimbledon. And I had a strong connection with Alan Smith's assistant, Dave Kemp. He'd been my youth team manager. And so they were aware of kind of what I could do. And and I wasn't getting sort of a lot of Premier League minutes because I sort of was quite young. And, but I scored a couple of goals and I'd kind of demonstrated a modicum of ability, I hope. So Alan Smith knew me and Kempy obviously knew me very well. And they sold me on Wickham being a great place to further my development. I remember coming and I think I only stayed for a month or so. I played about six or seven games, but played pretty well and scored three goals in those six games. And, and it was a cracking team and I had a wonderful time. And to be honest, I would probably quite like to have stayed a bit longer, but I guess, things were going pretty well. And so Wimbledon called me back and I ended up kind of, having a few more games in the Premier League with Wimbledon. So I was quite sad to leave, to be honest.
No, of course. And what were your initial impressions of when you first started?
Oh, everyone was super friendly. It was days of Big Tell, and I think Keith Ryan had an injury, which is, I think, I was coming to kind of fill that gap from memory. I think we were training over at Bisham Abbey back in those days, so the facilities were pretty good. And yeah, I just remember there being a fabulous camaraderie, and and I was sort of young but full of beans, and as I say, just sort of started breaking through into the old crazy game, Wimbledon Premier League, and so sort of to join a team like Wickham, which, so I already knew Adam Smith and particularly knew Kempy. So I kind of hit the ground running from memory. So I don't want to show off. when I came at the end of my career and after a few injuries, things weren't as good personally, I don't think. But that period of time, I was sort of flying and firing and, we had a decent team. And I think, once again, from memory, I think I joined you guys mid-table and then we ended up, I think when I left, we were about second or third. So, yeah, it was a really enjoyable sort of six or seven games. And, it was a shame really to sort of end in sort of a quick fashion. But I think the last game I was playing, I think it was against Chesterfield and we won 1-0 and I'd scored a goal. And I think Sam Haman, who was our chairman, and Laurie Sanchez, who ended up taking me back, I think he was like the assistant manager or the resi manager or whatever, and they watched the game and said, no, that's enough for us. We want you at Wimbledon. So that kind of cut things short.
I was going to say, did you rather take much from that brief spell at Wickham into your, back to Wimbledon with you?
God, absolutely. Well, I was imbued with confidence and things had gone really well, and it was just nice to feel part of a team where I was playing regularly. So I went back to Wimbledon sort of full of beans, really. I mean, I guess the trouble is that for all of the brickbats that our old crazy gang get, we had a pretty decent team and lots of internationals, and the midfield was packed with full internationals. So I went back and didn't really get a shot at cementing a regular first team spot. I mean, I did play quite a few games and came off the bench a lot, but yeah. So as I say, with hindsight, I think I'd have probably would have rather stayed longer at Wickham and been part of something for at least a good few more months. But hey ho, you kind of do as you're told as a footballer. So I was taken back.
And funny how things work out in football. And as you say, you're connected with Laurie Sanchez, who became the manager at Wickham, and he brought you back about 4 years later.
That's right, yeah. But I mean, so I'd had a couple of injuries by then, and if I say so myself, I don't think I was quite the player that the Wickham sort of fans had seen sort of 4 or 5 years previously. So it was nice of Laurie to bring me back, and obviously I did my best, but we had a pretty successful team and some excellent midfielders, and from memory, I still think I played about 20 odd games in that season, but it was but I kind of wasn't feeling as good in myself as I had been, and I hadn't played for the whole season leading up to that, it was a great year to be at Wickham. We had the fabulous cup run, and once again I had still had some old friends that were still there from the first period, like Rhino and Jason Cousins, and so there's a few others that were still part of that. And it was nice to link up with Sanch and Gibbo as well, Terry Gibson. And yeah, we had a marvellous team. But personally, I don't think it went as well as it did in the first thing. But hey-ho, the team were very successful. It was a shame. In a way, I guess that cup run maybe made us take our eye off the ball. And, we probably should have got promoted that year. And, we missed out, I think, maybe because we threw everything into that cup run. But it was a cracking team.
It must have been so exciting for you to have been part of that group and the journey and each of those games really in that cup run had its own story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No. It was all very exciting and I mean, I didn't play in the semi. I came off the bench in the quarterfinal when we Roy Essendoe scored that famous goal. I think the ball goes over my head and he heads it in. It was a great lead. Yeah, we beat Leicester in the quarterfinal and then just came up short against Liverpool in the semi. But it was a great cup run, and I think we fully deserved it. We had quite a magnificent team during that period, and the boys were fabulous, and I guess that team will live on forevermore in Wickham folklore.
So would you say that game against Leicester is something that really stands out as a highlight of your time at the club?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, to be fair, a few weeks or so before, I'd scored in the League Cup, against Barnet, which then got us a match against Birmingham in the next round, which I think we narrowly lost. So I mean that was a high point. But compared to I guess personally my higher points were in that first period. But certainly being part of that quarterfinal squad was definitely my high point of my second stint at Wickham. Definitely, yeah.
And the fans really took to you as well, of course, in both your periods.
Yeah, all the fans are magnificent. The whole club's magnificent. I mean, it did remind me a bit of being at Wimbledon, actually. I mean, it was a very sort of close-knit fan base and community and playing staff and just everyone around the club. It was, it was a super friendly club, but very focused and most sort of punching above their weight. I could not say, I only say wonderful things about the club in general. It was, everyone made me feel really welcome and all the lads were brilliant. And everyone at the club, I've got very fond memories.
And something that I wanted to ask you about on the Facebook page that JDT has previewed our chat, Susie Clark has mentioned that you were the only player who had a pocket stitched into your shorts for a gum shield. This is real Dragon's Den stuff, this sounds like.
Well, that does sort of, it harks back to my old days as a rugby lad. I mean, I grew up in Twickenham and I was actually offered a contract at Harlequins when I signed for Wimbledon. So, and Leo, I'm sure we'll come on to talk about Leo, and he's sort of had a similar situation. But yeah, so I always... Weirdly enough, always had a gum shield in me, just to make sure I pulled it out for set pieces and corners. And I used to like to fling my head in places. It's a bit silly, really, but it's more of a psychological thing, I think, really. But yeah, used to make me hark back to my old rugby days and just get stuck in.
No, it's a really good point, and I think as well, top advice for any young up and coming players who might be listening and think, oh yes, I should do that as well.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, it might be levelled at me for vanity purposes, but generally wasn't. It was more, it just made me feel, just made me feel kind of a little bit more bulletproof when I was just trying to smash through people and with my headers. So it's a bit of a silly thing, but there we go. It's something I used to do.
And just overall, how do you look back at your time at Wickham?
Well, yeah, with fondness and pride, and as I say, particularly in that first period and the second period, whilst, you know, I think, you know, it would have been nice to have had more opportunities to understand the situation. I probably needed a run of sort of 10 games on the bounce to get my full match fitness stack, because I hadn't really played an awful lot leading up to that at Wimbledon. But, you know, I guess that's just the way it is, that we had, you know, we was on a good run and we had good midfielders, and I wasn't really offered the opportunity to have that luxury of bedding myself in. So that was kind of, you know, a bit of a shame. So I would love to have, I still believe that had I got that opportunity, I would have been up to speed. But look, that's football, and I have no, you know, I don't hold any grudge to anyone on it. It's just, it is what it is. So I mean, overarchingly, really, you know, really fond memories of the place. Would like to have achieved a bit more personally in the second stint, but it was, you know, it's all part of life's rich tapestry in football. And I met some lovely people and made some great friends, and it was a great club and a great time.
And you've done so many varied things since as well, both in football with coaching the Wimbledon women, and also, you know, on screen and with some modelling as well.
Yeah, I've kind of done a few bits and pieces, yeah, and did a bit of the telly stuff and whatnot. But I've kind of left all that sort of stuff behind. I've been more involved in the sort of sports business sector probably for the last 15 years or so. So, yeah, I've gone down that route rather than the coaching and the TV. So that's all been quite good. And I've been employed by companies like SoccerX and the Sports Revolution, worked in more the commercial side of football, and I've recently been studying, and I've just passed my FIFA football agent exam, so I'm a licensed football agent now, and I've been working for a company called Kin Partners, who've also just merged with another company called Footwork. So they've kind of got some good young players, and, you know, a couple of established players as well, and it's a really exciting company. So that's who I'm working for at the moment, and that's where I currently am. I'm in the office. I've just snuck out into the corridor, so you don't have to listen to this nonsense I'm spouting.
Well, we'll be available in podcast form very soon, so you can listen whenever you like. And you mentioned Leo, of course, your son, who's currently on loan at Shrewsbury, so again, under a former Wickham manager, Gareth Ainsworth, and might be playing against Wickham in a couple of months as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that'll be a strange one when I see him run out against Wickham. But yeah, it's like Gareth's a really, really close friend of mine. He's, you know, we were teammates back in the day at Wimbledon. He's a cracking lad, and I'm sure the Wickham fans have got great memories of him. And yeah, I'm very proud of my son Leo. I mean, he made his Chelsea first team debut at the end of last season, and he was on the bench for quite a few Premier League games. So he's, you know, he's proving to hopefully be a much better player than I ended up being. He's played every England age group from under 15s up to 19s, and so he's just turned 19 himself. And Chelsea got high hopes for him, but they felt it was best this season to get some league games under his belt. So he's out on loan for the season at Shrewsbury, and even though they're having a bit of a tough time down the bottom of League One, they're doing exactly as they promised. I mean, he's played in every game that he's been available for, so I think he's already notched up 20-odd appearances this season. And he's getting some fabulous experience, and the idea is he'll go back having 40-odd games under his belt in the summer, and then Chelsea will reassess, and they decide he gets a crack at the Chelsea first team next season, or what is probably more likely is he'll then go to a Championship club next year, do the same again, and then hopefully the season after he'll be fully formed and ready for Chelsea. But who knows? Who knows? It's their decision. But he's scored a couple of goals, and he's been putting himself about, and it's turned him into a proper player being at Shrewsbury, and it's a lovely club as well. That also reminds me a bit of, you know, Wimbledon and Wickham kind of set up, where everyone's super friendly, but ultra focused. And and now Gareth's there. Hopefully he's going to be turning things around. I mean, we started winning a few more games since he got there. In fact, we've done Wickham a favour. We beat Birmingham and
no, definitely
in the last few weeks. So yeah, so we sorted Wickham right out.
No, we wish him all the best as well, of course. And your daughter Kitty, of course, on our screens in EastEnders as well.
Yeah. Very proud of her. Yeah, I mean, she's been at EastEnders for over a year now. But yeah, she went to drama school, and she got an A in an acting degree, in an acting degree, and it's her first proper job, and she's landed a role with Penny Branning on the lead characters in EastEnders. So yeah, so she's doing fabulously well, and I guess even more so the fact that, you know, she had a terrible illness when she was seven, and, you know, she nearly died when she was seven, so she's paralysed from the waist down, and she's in a wheelchair, but she says no to adversity. She's a very proud dad, and she's packed on and just led as normal life as possible, and she's seen the fruits of that hard work now, and yeah, she's now she's now on our screens and, yeah, going to hopefully be the most successful of everyone. So, yeah, she's following more of my wife's footsteps because, say, Lucy's been a TV presenter all her life and been involved in television. So it's kind of quite sweet that Lucy's still doing all her stuff and Kitty's following her footsteps and Leo's kind of following mine, and hopefully we'll end up being much better than I was.
And with what Leo's doing, is that really nice for you as well, to kind of reflect and really think, look back on, you know, what you've achieved in your career?
Yeah, well, absolutely, yeah. I'm totally hit vicariously through Leo now. It's, I've kind of been there and done it. As I say, I mean, he's at Chelsea Premier League, and I was Wimbledon Premier League, and he's now on loan in League One when I was, you know, I've been League One with Wickham. So there are certainly parallels, and that's another reason why I've gone into sort of, you know, what I do and helping sort of manage his career along with the other people at the agency, and you know, so hopefully we can steer him in the right direction. But yeah, he's, you know, I'm very, very proud of him, and hopefully he's going to go on to do great things. But it's early days yet, it's very embryonic, but he can't do any better than he's doing at the moment. So he's captained England, he's captained Chelsea 21s, he's scoring goals, he's made his Chelsea first team debuts, and he's now getting some great experience down at Shrewsbury, and they're really looking after him. It's been a great club for him.
Well, it's been brilliant to catch up with you again and share your memories, and glad to hear that you and your family are doing well as well. Thank you so much indeed for your time.
Thank you so much. Not a problem at all. It's very nice to speak to you all, and hopefully I'll see you all at a Wickham game sometime soon.
Real pleasure chatting to Stuart Castledine, who spent two spells at the club on loan for seven games in 1995, as he said, with Alan Smith and David Kemp there, and returned 4 years later to play under Laurie Sanchez, of course, appearing in that 2001 FA Cup run. We had Martin Lee on the show last week, of course. Another recent guest, Max Kretschmar, who is now at Wealdstone. This is quite a clever segue in this bit. because continuing the midfielder theme for the show as well, some news this week that Taylor Clark has moved on loan to Wealdstone, the National League side, for the remainder of this season. He spent the first half of the campaign in the National League South with Farnborough and made his debut for the Stones in their 1-1 draw with Hartlepool at the weekend. So we wish him all the best for the remainder of this season. More from Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association on next week's show, of course, and throughout the season as well. If you're new to the show, this is our fifth series, I know, and it's been a real pleasure to catch up with many former Chairboys stars from so many different generations. As I say, there is a podcast version of the show wherever you get your podcasts from. You can listen to previous episodes. Well worth catching up with some of the big names from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and only recently departed from the club. That's wherever you get your podcasts from.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
Final part of this week's Wycombe Wanderer show still to come. We'll catch up with caretaker boss Sam Grace as he and his coaching team prepare to take the side for the visit of Northampton to Adams Park on Saturday. But first, as seems to be the norm at this stage of the show, we'll turn our attention to Wycombe Wanderers women. And last week on the show, I think it was last week anyway, we announced the new signing of Jordan Hosley Atkins, who's a midfielder, central midfielder at that, as you'll hear in a few moments' time, because we've been speaking to her. She's returning to the club for her second spell, which she was with the team just before the pandemic. But let's first of all find out about her football journey. And as you'll hear, she started playing from a very early age.
I started off kicking a ball about in the garden with my dad. Obviously had super hard training at that level. I would say actually maybe I got into football a little bit later, which I'm not sure if that's kind of true, but I kind of started around 11. I joined my local team, which was Colne Valley, and actually had no idea about where to go for women's football or girls' football at the time. And he ended up running into someone, a mum at my school, and she said that her daughter was playing for the local team, which is Colne Valley, and said, why don't you come along? And that's kind of where it started. So through there, obviously all his training in the back garden did quite well. I went to Chelsea Academy Development, and then I joined the women's team for a season. I left there, went to Fulham, and then I went to Watford. I went back to Fulham for a little bit for sort of the early ages of ladies football, when they were a little bit more of a powerhouse, actually. And then my mum decided to ship me off to America. So I was really interested in scholarships, etc. So I went to America with a scholarship to carry on playing football, also soccer, which was really hard to say. And yeah, since then, I've come back and played Tier 4 football at Ashford. And here I find myself back at Wickham.
What was your experience in America like?
Yeah, that was pretty surreal, to be honest with you. It was a little bit, when you first go out as an 18-year-old, obviously that's like a I'm being left to my own devices and how do I survive sort of thing with a whole bunch of people who speak funny. No offence to any Americans, but, you know, obviously a different world and things like that, trying to adapt to it was pretty scary, but it makes you grow up. And, I mean, everything you see on the movies about what college or university is like is exactly what it is like in real life.
And what was your process, if you like, for finding your position? Did you always know what position you wanted to play, or has it been a bit more sort of organic?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to really go back and credit my dad, but he used to play football a little bit and kind of semi-pro, and always used to kind of focus on touch and technical ability and that sort of thing. And he also made me use my left foot. So although I wouldn't necessarily say I'm as confident on my left as my right, I can hold my own, if that makes sense. How I came into finding centre mid, I don't really know.
Perhaps it found you.
Maybe it did find me, yeah. I think I just went into it, to be honest with you. I'm an organised person. I'm very, know what I want, if that makes sense. And I think that really came out on the pitch. So being in the middle of the park sort of thing, to be able to get everyone around me in position or encourage, etc. Maybe that was just, yeah, the position that seemed to hold. And then from that moment on, I kind of was centre mid. Wearing that three or wearing that four doesn't necessarily matter, like anywhere on the pitch. Or to be fair, I've always said anywhere on the pitch is good for me. I have dabbled at left back, to be honest with you. So maybe that does show you that my left foot's okay. That's quite a lot of running, which I don't mind. But yeah, I would say my preference is definitely centre mid.
And what would you say you've taken from all your experiences from being in America to playing at some of those other clubs at different levels that you've played as well?
Playing in America and stuff, to single it out, is a massive eye-opener in terms of being given sort of a professional-esque life. I mean, you really do get treated like a pro. So coming from sort of women's football over here at the time, which I don't know if I want to age myself, but, you know, 2000s, can I say that and not age myself, early 2000s, was not necessarily a huge sport. There were people playing. I think when I said I wanted to play football, it was like, okay, cool, what do we do with it? So then to go to America and be really sort of dazzled by the lights of college football, or college soccer, shall I say, yeah, I mean, given like, here's the choice of three boots at the beginning of the season and here's loads of kit and we're going to pay you to, you know, have some food after the game. It was just mad. And so coming back actually to English football after that, I took a lot of that with me. I guess I had a lot of different expectations. The way that they play and train is very different to English football. So I would say English women's football is more technical, skillful, but not necessarily, especially maybe the focus has changed now in terms of fitness and athleticism, whereas over there I was literally made to run the whole time. So those things have really helped me, and I definitely now appreciate and buy into the sort of the fitness side of things way more than I maybe used to or thought that I could get by. So that's probably helped my game in some ways, is combining sort of the technical element and having to run a lot.
And does it feel nice being an experienced player? I hope it's okay to call you that. And just being able to you know, kind of, I guess, influence younger players as well, and I guess be a, really a role model for other young players coming up.
Yeah, experience is certainly the word I like to use. Don't like to put any ages or things like that on it. Yeah, it's odd because I never thought of myself as that player. And I guess when you're sort of early 20s, etc., I didn't think like that. But I mean, I've always really kind of enjoyed seeing other players thrive, etc., on the pitch, encouraging. I think, you know, you only get the best out of yourself if everyone around you is also playing well or doing well or believes that they can do well. Coaching isn't anything I've really stepped into, but yeah, I really enjoy now and value being able to kind of give back some experience or things that I've learned about football to some of the younger players. Yeah, I really enjoy having those conversations with them.
So how did your second move to Wickham come about? Because obviously fans might not know, or might know, that this is your second spell back at the club.
Yeah, second spell. And just as sort of we were chatting, I started just before COVID, when there was a real ambition from the club to kind of progress, to move forward with the women's team. And then, yes, lovely COVID hit. So unfortunately, that really halted a lot of things. And I mean, yeah, I can't remember now, but it was a year off or something like that before we were able to play again. And kind of in that time, I just moved on. I think another opportunity came around. Whether I moved at the time, I can't remember. But it just didn't work out. I didn't stay at the club. And yeah, so I kind of was previously at another club not too long ago. And a few of the girls from there moved over to Wickham. To be honest with you, I've always followed Wickham throughout that whole time. I think you always got a little bit of an affliction for the clubs that you used to play for. And yeah, I've only heard very positive things for recently after having those chats. And I can really see the ambition from the club to move forward. There's a lot of really good things going on behind the scenes. And yeah, I think you'll see a lot of that on the pitch, but also just generally where the club is moving forward. Some really good things to come. The first day I rocked up a few weeks ago when we were coming back from Christmas, and there was a game between the younger age group and our team. And honestly, the younger group, they really impressed me. So obviously there's a real ambition to kind of build a pathway into the women's first team too, which I think is really special. And not every club has that. So yeah, that's really positive for the club in the future as well.
So what was it like making your first appearance on Sunday?
Nerve-wracking. Nerve-wracking because I'm coming back from injury, I'll be honest. So, you know, it was a nice proper Sunday league pitch, lovely grassy football, bit of mud, which is obviously how we love to play. But yeah, I was nervous because I wanted to make sure, one, I had a good account of myself, but also I came out unscathed. And I mean, the girls, to be fair, they'd already put us in a good position. So it wasn't like we were chasing the game or anything like that. But yeah, of course, as a new player, you want to come in to a team and kind of be able to showcase what you can do. Everyone has to sort of prove themselves, and I don't think I've done that just yet, to be honest with you, because I'm still coming back, but I should be hopefully back to full fitness in the next few weeks, and definitely put myself in a position to show what I can do and help the team.
Fantastic. And does it feel like an exciting time to be joining, especially with, you know, the team being in contention with the top teams at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, there's a real ambition from the club, the manager, and to be fair, the players. Like, I've come in and everyone's sort of talking about what we want to achieve already. And I mean, maybe to a younger player, that might be quite daunting. But to me, experience, that's right up my street. I'm really ambitious as a person. I want to help drive the club forwards. So those things are really good. I've been lucky enough to have experienced promotions from Tier 5 into Tier 4. Twice now, so hopefully I can bring that experience and knowledge and know-how to what you need into the team, because certainly the club is only looking forward.
No, it sounds really exciting. And do you set yourself perhaps sort of personal and also collective with the team kind of targets as to what you'd like to achieve for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think the team's been very well. I think we all know that the aim is to get promotion. So as a team target, I mean, that is literally it. If it's not this season, because of the way it works out, then that will definitely be the goal next season. And I've got no doubt that we can really push hard for that. Individually, as I've sort of just alluded to, I think it's get myself, I have to focus on myself a little bit in order to help the team, which is to get myself fully fit again, which isn't too far away. And then, yeah, I think, I mean, to be fair, you said it for me, being able to provide a bit of experience to some of the younger players to kind of keep the momentum of the club going, to give back what I can, to tell them and show them what women's football is about, but also generally love just sort of growing and learning about football. So if there's anything I can give from that perspective, I'll be super happy to get that across. But yeah, I'm here to help the team, and yeah, one team, one dream. Gosh, that's so cheesy.
That should be on a T-shirt. And really, really nice for you as well to see how the women's game has progressed, you know, just in your time of being involved as well.
Yeah, massively. As I said, I didn't really know where to go and get a team when I started playing football. I mean, you see so many advertisements now about join this local side, or just generally on social media, or there's posters around. I mean, even, you know, like McDonald's are talking about getting involved with their sort of kickabout teams. I can't remember the name, but, you know, there's definitely an encouragement now. And with the success of the Lionesses has hugely boosted, and I would say, fast-forwarded any development that there is. And the FA, you're now seeing support coming from them in terms of grassroots football and how the game can progress. And recently, actually, I saw a post from someone that used to work at the FA, and she was saying that Google have changed their AI default from when you search for football. It doesn't just come up with men's football now. It gives you the option to search for women's football. I mean, it might sound super small, but things like that are really helping the women's game progress and put it on the map.
No, it sounds fantastic. Well, we're really looking forward to following your progress with the club, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Real pleasure chatting to Jordan, who came on off the bench on Sunday for Wycombe Wanderers Women's 3-1 win away at Woodley. Takes them second in the league table, 8 points behind league leaders Ascot, after both teams have played 11 games. The first team are back in action on Sunday at Penn and Tyler's Green. You might recall recently we had manager Carl Simon on saying that there was a game that would be happening a little closer to Wycombe, and that's at Penn and Tyler's Green on Sunday. That's a 2 o'clock kickoff in the League Cup, so do get along and support the Chair Girls there if you can. Let's round up their other results. The development team on Sunday, some high scoring games involving Wycombe Wanderers women. They were 6-1 winners at Abingdon. That was the development team last Sunday. That followed Saturday's 6-5 defeat, very narrow defeat for Wycombe Wanderers women's under 18s. They were at Chesham United's under 18, so a very narrow 6-5 defeat there. Do watch out for Wycombe Wanderers women's progress on their social media. And I was informed as well that this also falls on a Thursday in March, but it'll be International Women's Day on the 3rd of March. So hopefully we'll be doing something extra special to celebrate that on the show as well. Final part of the programme, as mentioned, and we're looking ahead to Saturday's visit of Northampton. Wycombe Wanderers men's team doing still well in the table, like the women actually, second in the league, just behind Birmingham. We haven't had a home game for a little while after a run of four to start 2025. It's been fantastic to catch up with Sam Grace. We first spoke to the caretaker manager on last week's show, of course. It was quite a hectic week with Matt Bloomfield departing for Luton. Great to catch up with him earlier today and reflect on the last 7 days compared to that.
Last week was exactly that. It was a bit of a whirlwind in terms of being told on the Monday afternoon, then to obviously trying to watch as much footage as possible, so that, you know, every training session could be specific to the game plan for the weekend against Mansfield. Whereas, you know, this week, almost as soon as the game finishes on Saturday, the analysts, brilliant Cal and Ben, are providing you the footage so that you can watch, which just means that we're in a better place and we've got a clearer strategy, both in and out possessions. We're not trying to almost give out too much information in one session. So, yeah, a lot calmer this week, and I've really enjoyed the flow of it.
What would you say has impressed you most about the way that the whole group has adapted to the situation they find themselves in?
Yeah, I think it surprises other people more. So those that work with these players day in, day out, and it is, don't get me wrong, it is a big ask for them. But, you know, the likes of Jack Grimmer, Vokesy, Butch, Luke Leahy, G-Mac, and all the players, but those older players especially, you know, they're making sure that nothing will derail them. Okay, they want to get promoted. You know, this is their goal, number one. So, you know, while they would have absolutely loved for Blooms to stay and for him to see it through, it doesn't change the overall objective.
And has it really pleased you how, you know, with your role with the development group as well, how much the younger players have really coped, if you like, as well, and adapted?
Listen, if you can't adapt in football, then you're probably not going to have a successful time in it. Whether, you know, as a fairly young player, you're going to go through selection, changes of managers, injury, change of formation. So, yeah, it's a good time for them to practice, right, what do I stand for as a player? What are my values? Okay, these need to come out no matter what the situation, no matter who's taking it. Actually, it's been quite nice for them as well. You know, they're back from loans, most of them, obviously the exception of Taylor and Luca. So that contact time in training, they like that challenge, you know, a little bit more time in the gym as well to add to their physical capabilities. So, yeah, it's a slightly different period for them, but equally beneficial.
And also really boosted, I imagine, by the arrivals this week as well, since we spoke to you last, of both Alex and James, and what they bring as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think any new signing coming in, it could either creates a sense of excitement, and you're adding to the playing depth that we have here at Wycombe, or it's a little bit more competition. Plus, there's an excitement. Okay, what can they do? You're trying to find out. So that's exactly what we've had. You know, we as much as we've been focusing on the game at the weekend, you're also trying to put on sessions that allow their qualities and the reasons they've been signed to come out. I think we'll be finishing this week with a lot better idea of what the likes, as you said, Alex and James can do today, and Anders and Magnus are still new. Sonny, I think after last weekend, we've got a pretty good idea of what he's capable of.
And the visit of Northampton on Saturday, a great opportunity for the fans to come out and you know, show their support for both, you know, yourself and the other coaches, but also the team as well, and really, you know, continue this great run of form that we're still in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the scenes at the end of last week, I think it just showed how both the fans feed off the players in terms of their endeavours, their hard work and the commitment, which, you know, everyone could see. But then it works the other way as well. The players, you know, those extra cheers, you know, feel like they had an extra player behind that goal, you know, clapping every challenge, every tackle, cheering. And, you know, on the referee as well, where's he got an extra 10 minutes from? Really sort of a positively symbiotic relationship between the two of them. So, yeah, we'd love to have more of that this weekend.
And just finally, it feels like, you know, from, you know, your post-match comments on Saturday and hearing from some of the other, you know, senior players like Jack and Gareth as well, there's a real, you know, feeling of positivity amongst the group and a real kind of, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, there is. And as I said, I can't speak more highly of them. That's been the same from the first session we had with them, where they're probably, I guess, there's a bit of trepidation, anxiety, what's to come. Obviously, we're trying to keep as much of the good work done with Blooms and Tomo and Harry and Cerny carrying on with an eye on the next game coming up to make sure it's specific to that. The energy levels out there have always been good. There's high levels of communication, which is always a good sign that people are invested in it. And yeah, I think they're excited to play this weekend as much as we are.
Really appreciate your time. Great to chat to you, and all the best for Saturday.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
Great to chat to Sam Grace as part of the press session a little earlier on this afternoon. Sam Grace, the caretaker manager of Wycombe Wanderers, as a Chair Boys fan, saying how much he's really looking forward to leading the side out at Adams Park on Saturday when Northampton come to town with the team after the result against Mansfield. Second in the table, just 2 points behind league leaders Birmingham City, but have played two games more than the current pace setters. Just ahead of Wrexham, played the same number of games as Wrexham, 3 points clear of them, and then we've got Huddersfield just below, and then Barnsley, who visit Adams Park on Tuesday night. They're currently in fifth place on 42 points. Wickham's opponents on Saturday, though, Northampton Town, they're just above the bottom three at the moment, 5 points clear of the relegation zone, also having played 26 games. They've just won one of their last six fixtures, so they'll be coming to Adams Park on Saturday. The match kicks off, of course, at 3 o'clock. If you're not going to the game to back the Blues, then we'll have full match commentary here on Wickham Sound and on Wanderers TV as well. Same on Tuesday night for that 7:45 kickoff, the visit of Barnsley, as I say, who are another of Wickham's promotion challenging rivals, which will bring to a close the fixtures for January. It's been a busy month, hasn't it? Kicked off with those four home fixtures, including that FA Cup game against Portsmouth. February starts on the 1st of Feb with a trip to Cambridge. Then, after the transfer window closes, which is on the 3rd of February, by the way, you might know that already, but next week's show will be the final knockings of the transfer window. On the 8th of February, it's the fourth round of the FA Cup, that trip to Preston, hoping to progress to the fifth round, of course, which has meant the postponement of the Bristol Rovers game. Don't have a rearranged date for that as yet, but we'll keep you up to date with that. Then a trip to Crawley, and then February concludes with the visit of Wigan Athletic on the 22nd. Do keep up to date with the Wickham Wanderers Show. If you're not around on a Thursday from 7, I'm sure you're very well aware by now, there's a podcast version wherever you get your podcasts from. It's also available on the radio player page of Wickham Sound on YouTube. There have been reports of people listening on YouTube, and also on the Listen Again feature on the website, where you'll catch up with the last four episodes, which you can find, as I say, at wickhamsound.org.uk. That's wickhamsound.org.uk. Hope you've enjoyed the show this week. Big thanks to all my guests. Pleasure, as always, to have Phil on the show. He returns next week, and after the match commentaries on Saturday and Tuesday, of course. Brilliant to catch up with Stuart Carlstein. Great to hear from James as well. James Berry, one of the new signings. Do keep an eye out for more on Wanderers TV with a chat with Alex Lowry as well.
well. Brilliant chat to Stuart Castellane on the show, as mentioned, and to catch up with Jordan as well from Wycombe Wanderers Women. And, of course, to hear from Sam Grace. Join us next week on the show. Have a fantastic week. If you are going to Adams Park, of course, the first home game since the departure of Matt Bloomfield, do get behind the team. And hopefully we can narrow that gap on Birmingham City at the top of League One. Have a fantastic week, as I say, and join us next week on the Wycombe Wanderers show here at Wycombe Sound.